The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTates.com studios.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Brad Sesmatt, Sports360AZ.com on AZ Central Sports. On Twitter, at Brad Sesmatt, and of course, White Mountain Radio. Clark Judge going to join us. All things NFL, 30 years covering the NFL beat. Clark Judge, 49ers and Jim Harbaugh, irreversible? Is it falling apart? The Combine today, Michael Sam just ran his 40s, and the NFL Network links the Arizona Cardinals to Michael Sam. Want to talk about that. Jadeveon Clowney today. Some Arizona State and U of A angles all around the Combine. And much, much more with Clark Judge. Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist, my friend. Very good at what she does. We'll visit with Paula, as we do every Monday. And what's on her mind here locally? I'm sure the Suns game last night. Arizona State was just awful. Awful last night. Man, they were so bad last night. And yeah, 2 weeks ago, it's, oh, hey, we beat the U of A. And, you know, here we are 9 days later or so, and what happened? You get drilled in two, and it's not the end of the world. It's just I get a little tired of the how up and down people are here and how quickly we're saying this is the best coaching job Herb Sendek's ever done. It's the middle of February, and so when they were just embarrassing last night on national television, there's no other way to spin it. You cannot spin how bad they were. So, and the Daytona 500, I actually was into that towards the end of the race. I'll be the first to admit, I do not sit and watch NASCAR from start to finish. I like interviewing the drivers. I like being out at the track. Yesterday, which turned into last night, a 6 hour and 20 minute rain delay was very entertaining. Although today, Eric is back from the Combine. It's good to see you, by the way.
It's good to be seen.
Glad you made it back.
Busy weekend in Indy.
So this Madison Rising deal, about an hour ago, I started getting notes from fans saying, are you going to talk about Madison Rising today?
Who?
Exactly. So Madison Rising sang the anthem at the Daytona 500, and today they're getting crushed. They're getting obliterated for what they – now, I've not heard this as of yet.
Well, you'll see or you'll hear when I play it why. But
okay, just, so
I didn't cut the whole thing because it runs like 3 minutes.
So, can you give me a little bit of it?
We'll just play a little bit of it.
I want to know why this is becoming this big trending topic across our country today.
Okay, stand by. Here we go.
Yeah, yeah. It's Madison Rising. It's not bad.
Sounds pretty good, huh?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. All right, hold on.
I can handle this.
Wait, what?
Huh? Wow. Jeez. Wow. This is really not good. Now, it's not Roseanne grabbing her crotch.
Not at all, but let's just, okay, let's listen to good.
All right.
I like it. They're a rock band. You know, they have to put their own spin on it.
You're outdoors.
Everything's fine.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is Madison Rising's big day because they're getting crushed on social media for that. We've seen some bad anthems through the years. We could do a whole show on bad anthems. But, you know, when I sit down to do this show, I have all these things that are on my mind, and then I start getting notes from all of you saying, so what is the deal with Madison Rising? I have no idea.
Yeah, and what is the deal with ESPN reporting that they were watching, like, I guess the Daytona put on last year's race during the rain delay.
This is how great
media outlets on their crawl put so-and-so went, whoa, that was last year's results.
This is why, look, have we made mistakes on this
no
show?
No question.
Absolutely we
Nothing
have.
Like that, though. It wasn't like, hey, Brad, guess what? ASU didn't beat U of A. U of A won. Oh, that was last year's game. Oh,
I remember,
gotcha.
I remember... this will date me a little bit, but I remember doing the show when we were over at KTAR, and they're supposed to be the respected news leader and all that stuff. And it was like the middle of July, and the person who was reading the news comes in and finishes the newscast with an Arizona State football right now beating Oregon State 20-10 in the third quarter. And I said, well, that's kind of interesting. And poked my head around the corner and said, where'd you get that? And this person pointed up the TV, and it was on replay on, I think, Fox Sports. Back
nah,
in the day.
They rescheduled. They played the game in July, yeah, not in October.
Of course they did.
Nah, it happens.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, let's just kind of connect dots. So, yeah, last night. So the funny part about that is Jimmy Johnson said after the race he couldn't believe how many congratulatory texts he received because they showed last year's race during the six-hour rain delay yesterday because it's Fox. What else are you going to do? And so major media outlets said, we've got Daytona 500, and the winner's Jimmy Johnson. Of course it is. He didn't win. That was last year's race. Are you nuts? So I love our industry sometimes. I absolutely do. Stuff like that just humors me. I'm in a very good mood today. I had my birthday over the weekend. And so my 9-year-old in my high school, no, my college, I have to get all my kids straight. My college sophomore daughter decided that they're going to make me a cake. So they made a Twinkie cake. There's 20 Twinkies, and they covered it with chocolate frosting. And then they convinced me to buy a box of Thin Mints from the Girl Scouts out front of the grocery store. And
$4 a box.
It, absolutely.
$4.
It used to be like $1.50 or something.
Yeah, like $2.25.
So they make this death bomb cake. I guess they don't want me to get to 50 because this is my last year of being below 50. And it was like, did you guys already dig the 6-foot hole to put me in because you want me to eat this? No, I had a very, very nice birthday up to that point in time, but I didn't think I was going to make it to today's show. I'm having lunch today with Danny White. I'm looking forward to sitting with Danny White today, one of the great sports icons in our state, and talk some Dallas Cowboys and that. So I'm very happy. And the fact that, Eric, you made it back from the combine unscathed. Do you have combine stories?
Some interesting stuff. I was eating breakfast Friday morning at the hotel that I was staying at, and I was wearing my credential, and a gentleman that was staying there said, hey, are you in the media? I said, yeah. He's like, well, I've got a scoop for you. I said, oh, this should be good.
Yeah.
Please tell me.
Yeah.
He said, last night, some of my friends were at the Slippery Noodle. And right then, I was like, okay, I don't know what that is.
Slippery Noodle.
Slippery Noodle is a bar in downtown Indianapolis. And they say Johnny Manziel was hanging out at the bar at 3:30 in the morning.
Was Misty there? Is it one of those bars?
No, it's just a regular bar. It's not
regular bar. It's not one of those bars.
Yeah, it's not a
gentleman's club.
It's not a gentleman's club.
Or lack of gentleman's club.
Yeah, that. Yeah. So, and then just got some talk some people with the Cardinals. And I think the game plan this offseason in terms of free agency is here's the deal. If you like it, take it. And if not, don't let the door hit you on the butt. Kind of like what they did with Dave Zastadil. They offered him a contract. There wasn't a whole lot of negotiating. He took the deal. Great. But with Jay Feely, Dansby, Rashard Mendenhall, just get the sense that it's one of those things where Kime's going to be like, here's what we're offering. If you like it, great. We'd love to have you back. And if not, bye.
Well, like the Raiders have $70 million in space. It's amazing. There's some good stuff there. Eric does not have a Facebook question of the day yet, so we're still working on that. But we have some other things that are on my mind in the world of sports. Let's get to those right now. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. They are a big part of what we do here at Sports360AZ.com. The Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. The temperatures are great up there. I hear there's some weather moving into our state later this week. Get some snow up at sunrise. They're making snow up there if you want to head on up. But the place to stay is at the Honda Resort and Casino in the White Mountains. Pull down on the slot. Great winnings. Eat some great food. Great people. Have some fun. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. So the combine today, the story today was the running backs yesterday. Today it was the running of Jadeveon Clowney. Jadeveon Clowney is figured to be the top pick or number two or number three pick overall in the draft. This man ran a 4.47 40-yard dash. That doesn't mean anything to a lot of people except he's 6'5". These guys are beasts. Now, Michael Sam, and the reason why people are making a big deal out of Michael Sam is he's the first to come out and say that he is gay. And to me, it's like, that's all well and good, but can you play the game of football? He ran a 4.7 and a 4.8 40. Michael Sam has been linked to the Arizona Cardinals today. According to the NFL Network, the Cardinals are one of four teams that they could see Michael Sam fitting in well with. How would Michael Sam be received here in Arizona? It would be the same as Michael Sam would be received with any NFL team. 95% of the people would be great. There'll be the 5% that are loaded, and they'll see it differently. an NFL locker room is kind of a unique atmosphere because you have guys from all different ethnicities, backgrounds, religions, creed, whatever, race. And so would he be accepted in the locker room? If he can't play, forget about it. That's just the way it is. This really isn't that hard. I don't feel like I need to sit here and do a social commentary on Jason Collins turning pro or getting signed. Jason Collins getting signed yesterday with the New Jersey Nets and correlate that to Michael Sam. And to think that NFL teams are going to watch what NBA teams do with Jason Collins and how fans are going to respond. It's really not that hard. There's going to be idiots and morons at sporting events that will yell obscenities and slurs towards Jason Collins, the same as it will be with Michael Sam. I'm not going to sit here and fill a show for 2 hours trying to figure out how it's going to be. If a guy can play, he can play. So Jason Collins gets signed over the weekend. Yeah, openly gay player. The NBA, somehow, some way, Michael Sam gets a lot of attention. All of a sudden, a cruddy team like the New Jersey Nets signs Jason Collins to a 10-day contract. Am I supposed to be a conspiracy theorist? Yeah, there's a little bit of me that says that. Is Jason Collins going to get blown out, released after 10 days? I don't know. If he can't play, he's not going to be in the league. Here is Jason Collins on Michael Sam and I. Jason Collins, not Brad Sussmat bringing this up. Jason Collins, I do think this is relevant to the show. Jason Collins bringing up Michael Sam and I have the same goals.
Similar to what Michael said, that it's about, you know, him being a football player and me being a basketball player and going out there and, you know, trying to help our respective teams win.
It's really not that hard. It's not that difficult. Here is more Jason Collins, not used to the post-game spotlight.
It was weird in that, you know, I'm usually like, you know, the background, one of the background players, and it's weird, obviously, this. But at the same time, it is what it is, and it's part of life.
Yeah, we have this fascination. There's a guy on the basketball court who says he's gay. We want to hear what he has to say. No, I don't. I have no problems with Jason Collins. All I care about is, can he play? If I want to do a story on him, it's a terrific story. That's great. I'm good with the story, but I don't care. I don't need to go up. Poor Jason Collins' teammates, when he rolls into town as the 10th or 11th man on the bench by his own admission, I'm usually one of the guys in the background. What does that mean? Nobody talks to me. But because I'm willing to say that I'm gay, so now people are wanting to talk to me. I don't know if it's going to last for more than 10 days. I'm sure the NBA can now go around to all their corporate sponsors and all their business people and say, look at us. We were the first to do it. And Michael Samuel, the NFL, everybody's trying to beat the other to the punch. That's how I see this. To think that there haven't been gay players is just asinine. It's just now these guys are willing to be open about it. Fine. It's fine. I've got some draft stuff I want to get into up next with Clark Judge. Later, the Suns last night, the Kevin Johnson tribute. I don't know how much time I want to spend on Arizona State. They were just miserable the last two games. They were just awful. Like, we beat the U of A and everything's great. No, no, it's not. Just show me what you can do and you just laid an egg. So I don't want to get into them too much. Diamondbacks open spring training on Wednesday. Much more. Clark Judge is next. All things NFL. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
Sports360az.com on White Mountain Radio. Great to be on White Mountain Radio. Good people on the mountain. And, of course, on AZ Central and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. Hope you're having a great Monday. Clark Judge joins us, all things NFL-related. Whether it is what's going on with Jim Harbaugh or what's going on with the use of a certain word. Like the NFL decides over the weekend a 15-yard penalty for the use of the N-word. They have got to vote this and push this through. What are your thoughts on the NFL going this direction?
Completely in favor of it. I'd like them to get this thing out of sports, language, everything. I want it gone. And it can't be used for some people and be used for others. That's not right. It's either good or it's bad. And it's acceptable or it's not. It's not acceptable. So get it out of the lexicon of everything. And you can start with the NFL. And I think that's what they're saying is, We want you guys to stop. And if you're not going to stop, we're going to start penalizing.
Where does it stop? What words? Are there going to be George Carlin's seven words?
Well, no, I think this one's pretty clear. You can't say it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I always grew up and was told you can't say it, and for a good reason. It's a demeaning and derogatory word. You can't say it. So when a guy says it, there should be a penalty. And I just, as I said, I don't know how you can enforce that because, let's say, it's the second guy in. He said, well, wait a second, he's the one to start. But I think you're going to have to start somewhere, and I think this is their caution flag to players. We're serious about this. We'd like you to do it on your own. If you can't, we're going to get involved.
Can you use replay audio?
Yeah, sure. I'm sure you can. Yeah. Absolutely. That's one of the things that was mentioned when they talked about it, and I think Ozzie Newsome mentioned it, that mics are picking up everything these days. But let's say, you know, if it picks me up and I said, you know, actually Brad said it first, doesn't make any difference. Like the guy who's going 70 in a 35 miles an hour zone. He said, well, he was doing it too. I'm sorry, we caught you. So I think that's how you start it. And as I said, I think they're serious about cleaning this thing up. Started last year, but really it's been going on for a while. It should be out.
All things NFL with Clark Judge. San Francisco, there's something about Harbaugh to me that he doesn't stick around very long in places.
Right.
And is this just his agent that floated it out there to get him a new deal? Are there real problems between Harbaugh and Balke, the front office, in the 49ers camp?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, but somebody floated it out there. I mean, honestly, I heard someone say to me, could it have been Joe Banner, the outgoing president of Cleveland? I guess it could have been.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people you think might have floated it out there. Would it be San Francisco? I don't think so. I know those people, and the Yorks are pretty close-mouthed on it. But it does raise a lot of questions. The Balke situation, I don't know that there's friction there, but I do know that there's a background with Harbaugh. As you mentioned, doesn't stay one place very long. At Stanford, I knew some people there who weren't all that upset that he left. He was successful there, but that's not what I'm talking about, success on the field. There are a lot of other things that go along with it. And honestly, I will tell you this, when I was covering the Super Bowl last year, meaning 2012, not 13, at the Super Bowl when the 49ers were there, I talked to a guy involved with that team who said, you know, if this team wins, if the 49ers win, he's going to be out of control because he's almost there right now. So he's coming up for a contract extension, and that's in 2015 his contract runs out. He's got two more years on it. But you wonder where that started because it's a strange story. It's a bizarre story, and somehow, you know, it just fits that he's in the middle of it because he seems to be in the middle of some things that
right.
He can leave you shaking your head.
No, I get it. And you know, there's precedent here. John Gruden was traded from the Raiders to the Buccaneers,
sure.
And that was the end of the Raiders. That was the demise of the Raiders. People point that, look, Harbaugh, before he showed up in San Francisco, was 6-10. The 49ers were 6-10, and they had Frank Gore, and they had Vernon Davis. So you have to give Jim Harbaugh the credit for getting them turned around. Does he have a point in wanting a new deal?
Oh, yeah, he does. I mean, 3 years, been to the conference championship game, 3 years. Yeah, he does. This guy's a very good coach. They've had the talent there, as you mentioned. They never were able to put it together to a winning record on the field until he came along. And the players have been there, but he got something out of them. And you look at them now, that's an elite team. I mean, people said this year, well, who could play with Seattle? I know one team that can play with them, San Francisco. They beat them once and nearly beat them in the conference championship game. So you look at the difference between that game and what Denver did in the Super Bowl. I mean, San Francisco is the best team, a second best team in football this year. Unfortunately, they played in the same division with the best team in football. So Jim Harbaugh has done a lot that's very good there. Does he deserve an extension? Yes. He will get one, I assume, unless he's asking for the moon. But he's getting $5 million a year. That seems like a lot to you and me. But in terms of you know, what coaches are making overall, Mike Shanahan was getting more. So I can see Jim Harbaugh's point where he goes in and says, listen, you know, I've done a lot better than Mike Shanahan did in Washington. How about it, guys? So at some point, they're going to give him a new deal. But the fact that this comes up now, Brad, it really sort of makes me wonder, what is going on there? Because, as I said, that same guy that I talked to last year, he said, I don't think he's here for the long haul. Let's see if he's here in 5 years. It's a good question.
Is he Bill Parcells? Because remember, Harbaugh flirted with the Dolphins.
Yeah, sure he did. Well, the Dolphins flirted with him when they had a head coach, Tony Sparano. They flew out there and talked to him. That says a lot about the Dolphins organization. I mean, that's a misguided attempt by an organization. It's a dysfunctional
right.
organization. You don't go trying to hire a coach when you already have one. That said, there are a lot of people interested in Jim Harbaugh. 49ers got him, and honestly, I thought they got him at a bargain rate because he was a coach who was very attractive to a lot of people. There were a lot of people who wanted to hire him. 49ers got him because they got sort of the hometown discount. He's there in Palo Alto. He stays. and they get him at $5 million a year. That's a lot of money. But as I said, in terms of what you're looking at, coaches get today, they're getting $6, $6.5, $7 million. He should be up there.
Talking NFL with Clark Judge. Has the combine, I don't mean this across the board, but have parts of the combine outlived their usefulness?
Yeah, that's a good question. I asked that last week. I think the answer is yes, but the combine has not, because of the interview process. The effect that's essential. You get all those guys under one roof for everyone to talk to. That's an extraordinarily important part. And if you
sure.
don't believe it, look how Russell Wilson sold himself to Seattle. It was the interview process. So in terms of other things, they're pro days. I mean, you look at Teddy Bridgewater, did nothing. Johnny Manziel didn't throw. Well, they're going to do it their pro day when they have their receivers on their own field, where they have their own comfort zone. I don't begrudge them that. But, yeah, parts of it probably have, but the part that hasn't is the physical. So you get everyone there for medicals and the interview process.
Mm-hmm.
Those are key ingredients to the drafting of a player, and I think things that will never go away, and things that are so important to this combine that it makes it something that will be in there for in perpetuity.
Because like a 40-yard dash, Clark, to me means nothing to Johnny
Zero.
Manziel or Teddy Bridgewater.
I agree.
It doesn't even mean anything to me, really, for Jadeveon Clowney, other than his numbers were ridiculous, that a man that big would run 40 yards. But how many times is Jadeveon Clowney going to run a 40-yard dash? The 10-second dash may be more important to me, or it is more important to me than his 40. So that's what I'm getting at. Some of these drills that these guys have been doing the last few days, it's, you know what, 20, 30 years ago, maybe, but the athlete has changed, so why don't the drills?
Yeah, no, that's right, and I think they will evolve as time goes on, but I agree with you on the 40 to me is the most overrated aspect of this, because we drool over the fast times. And there was something mentioned yesterday, it's the NFL Network sort of undercuts itself. They're talking about these great times for wide receivers and you know, how important it is. And then they say, well, you know, there have been 15 wide receivers who've gone sub-4-4. 15 wide receivers, sub-4-4. Of those 15, only one had a 1,000-yard season, Mike Wallace. And of that group, only three had 1,000 yards combined in their careers. So what do we know? What do we know is it doesn't mean anything. And even worse to me was the quarterbacks. You look at the quarterbacks' times, and, you know, I was there a couple years ago when we were drooling over RG3. Well, he should be fast. He's a track guy. He should be fast. But we talk about Johnny Manziel. I don't want to know what his straight-ahead speed is, because he's seldom running straight ahead. He's running backwards, sideways, in and out. He's running all over the place. He's Fran Tarkenton, except the bigger version of Fran Tarkenton. And that's what makes him special. So the 40, I guess it's important if he runs, you know, an 8-second 4-40, 8-second 40. But what I know about Tom Brady when he went there in 2000, ran a 5.28 40. So does that mean I'm not going to draft him? Well, you should have drafted him.
Yeah, because the number one overall pick is, now that Clowney has run this, there's the debate of, do they go Mario Williams again, you know, take
right.
a defensive player, or do they go David Carr again and take a quarterback that could end up setting the franchise back again? You have an owner there that's pretty conservative in Bob McNair, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Manziel's pizzazz, does it sell well in Houston? I guess what I'm getting at is, can you put a piece of the puzzle together off the Clowney performance today and through the combine this weekend to be the number one overall pick?
Yeah, I'd say yes and no. I mean, the fact that he ran fast, that's not unexpected. He did 21 reps on the bench. Well, that's not real good. I mean, Mario Williams did 35. So you look at that and say, okay, did he have a good combine? Well, he's doing some things well, but he's doing some things not so well. So you need some more information. I mean, to me, it's a slam dunk choice, Brad. If you have a quarterback at or near the top player in the draft, let's say for argument's sake, you look at your draft board and you say, Jadeveon Clowney's my top guy. He's the top guy on your board. If you have a quarterback at or near there, and you're the Houston Texans, you have to take him. You have to take him. A pass rusher is not going to get to the Super Bowl. A quarterback can. A great quarterback, not a great pass rusher. They had a great pass rusher, Mario Williams, teamed him with J.J. Watt. They had other people, including Brian Cushing on that team, Connor Barwin. And where did it get them? Got him one win in the playoffs. So they needed a quarterback. They needed that X factor to get them to the next level. They don't have that guy. They don't have a quarterback. They've got a chance now to get one of the top three. You better get him. Because you're not going to get him if you sit there at the top of the second round. So to me, it's a slam dunk on this. You've got to take one of those top three, because I've got to believe that one of those guys is in the top two or three players on their board.
Flip side of that, though, is Jamarcus Russell, complete bust. Ryan Leaf, complete bust. We saw Matt Leinart out here. The Cardinals organization was set back for years because they missed. So
right.
You've got to make sure, obviously, that you don't miss. And are there question marks on all these guys? There's going to be, you know how the news cycle will be after the combine. Well, I don't know about Bridgewater, or we heard Manziel didn't do well in his board work when he was in, trying to diagram plays. I don't know if that equates.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, let's sort of call it what it is. You got to know what you're doing. I mean, San Diego drafted Ryan Leaf, and they were told, whatever you do, don't make this guy a starter immediately. He's got a sense of entitlement. He's immature. He needs to grow up. Make him work for it. He's been given everything in his life. Shows up on Monday. On that Thursday, I'm talking about training camp, on that Thursday, they name him the starter. They didn't pay attention to what they've been told by psychologists. Now, you look at Oakland with Jamarcus Russell. I mean, Jamarcus Russell has a strong arm, and those are the days when Al Davis was there. What did he love? The vertical passing game. Mm-hmm. So he wanted a strong-arm quarterback. You have to know what you're going after. You've got three guys here, and I'm talking about Bortles, Bridgewater, and Manziel, who are three top quarterbacks. So one of these guys has got to be near the top, and I would think you have to do your homework on Manziel, but I'm going to tell you, Brad, you saw him. I saw him, too, in that bowl game against Duke. I have seldom seen a more electrifying performance. I looked at that and said, I don't know who's got the first pick. At that point, it was Houston. I want him to take him because this guy has got everything I want. He's entertaining. He can make plays. He can run. He's got an arm. He's more accurate than I thought he was. And I looked at that game and thought, that's the guy I look very hard at because you got to convince me you don't take him. And honestly, I think it's got to be a very courageous team that passes him or even passes Clowney because, as I heard today, I mean, it's going to be a tough decision to pass these guys, but or a tough decision not to take him, but it's going to be a tougher decision to not take him and then watch him play against you and go, geez, what did we miss here?
No.
Honestly, as I said, I'd take the QB.
And a guy, well, look, and a guy like Manziel, I don't see him really being thrilled if he goes to Jacksonville. You got to fit that part too. If Clowney goes one, if you're sitting there in destinations like Cleveland and Jacksonville, mm-hmm. is Manziel one of these guys that the first time he gets his head kicked in for a season that he's just going to fold his tent? That's the other thing I got to look at.
Well, that's why the interview process is so crucial. But you know, St. Louis, boy, has drawn the luck cards. I mean, the 2 years they have that number two pick. They're sitting there in quarterback-rich drafts. So let's just say Clowney's the first pick, for argument's sake. There are going to be so many people who want to get up to St. Louis' spot, much as was the case 2 years ago when, well before the draft, they mortgaged that that draft pick off, actually auctioned it off, and auctioned off to Washington. They gave them the farm for it. You know, they gave them three first-round draft picks, including the exchange of that year's draft pick. But they gave them that year's plus two more first-rounders, and it's still paying off in exchange for RG3. They're sitting at the same spot this year because there's going to be somebody that wants to go up there and get Bridgewater, Bortles, or Manziel and will pay a lot, pay a king's ransom to get it. So St. Louis in his perfect position, especially because they're sold on Sam Bradford and they continue to be sold on the guy. And if that's the case, then you don't need a quarterback. You can trade that away and get a lot more for it than you would sitting there. So I think they trade down, pick up a tackle, pick up another wide receiver and start filling in where they need to get up in that division.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I appreciate your time as always. Stay in touch. Stay well.
Thanks, Brad.
It's Clark Judge, all things NFL around the National Football League and around the – we could have done another 10 minutes there on the draft. The Cardinals have got to watch what's going on with St. Louis. You know, everybody wants to talk about how the Cardinals are in great shape. Peter King was with me on Friday's show, Monday Morning Quarterback, Sports Illustrated's Peter King. And it's not like, and he brought up a really good point, and Clark touched on St. Louis and where they are. Within the division, the Cardinals cannot just say, oh, hey, we beat Seattle last year. We're going to be pretty good. This is a crucial offseason because you can't sit pat. This was Peter King, Sports Illustrated and NBC analyst with me earlier.
My expectations are that, you know, I think their defense, which really was a pleasant surprise, not a surprise is the wrong word, but which really was a pleasant deal for, you know, how well they played last year, even at some spots. Like, I don't know that people thought they were going to rush the passer as well they did to get the pressure on the quarterback as much as they did. But you know that who would have ever thought 2 years ago that we'd be saying, well, here the Cardinals smack dab in the toughest division in football. But it is. You know, you look at all four teams in that division. You look at how the St. Louis Rams last year took the, were terribly difficult for the Seattle Seahawks to beat. And then 2 years ago, they beat and tied the 49ers. So to me, when I look at where this division is. I just say, you know, if you are not improving, I mean, they cannot stay the same this offseason and hope to be a playoff team next year.
No, he's right. He's right. And so we'll get more into that. We have a lot of time. The draft this year is not until May. So we've got like 11 weeks, but fascinating stuff when you look at where the Cardinals are and the Rams coming back behind them. I don't know if I'm sold on Sam Bradford. That's just me. We continue on. Up next, news and notes, the great Paula Bovin, AZ Central sports columnist, my friend. She joins me on the other side. Things going on around Arizona. We're Arizona-centric on Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports 360 AZ. You the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin, my friend, joins us for a couple of minutes. So you had breakfast with Ray Anderson, is that right, the new ASU AD?
I did, yes. And, you know, I think is the impression he's probably made on you too, really, really impressive. And the amount of people that he knows in the sports realm, from agents to the NFL to, you know, being a Pac-10 athlete at the time, he knows everybody, and I think because of that, he's going to get a lot of stuff done at ASU.
No, I've not had any meals with him, though. I'm not on your list.
Well, so. You know, yeah. Maybe one day, Brad, you can be at this level, but not quite. You know, one interesting thing that a couple interesting things, but one that struck me was that he's pretty confident in the very near future we're going to see female referees, female officials in the NFL, and even very soon in the Pac-12. There are some in other conferences, and it'll be interesting to see how that storyline plays out, because I know there are still some people who have a big issue with that.
I have no issue with it as long as they get the calls right, because the Pac-12 has been awful, with a capital A awful, with their officials through the years in basketball and football.
And I asked him, you know, I asked him about that too. I said, is it because we're here in the middle of Pac-12 country that it feels like they're awful? Or is it true? And he said, now that he's sort of immersed in it, that's something he's going to be paying attention to. And I think the person that is the sort of head of officiating for the Pac-12 now used to work under Ray Anderson. So I think that's going to help. That may help the cause too. But that's something he said he's going to really focus on.
Is he focused on his basketball coach and how miserable they were this last week?
Yes, but he has also offered a voice of support and said that Herb Sendick is his coach. So if anybody's out there thinking, you know, Herb is going to lose his job anytime soon, it's at least in this very near future, it's not happening. But yes, I think everyone can agree that last night was awful. And, you know, when you're in that close of a mix to getting an NCAA tournament bid when you've beat one of the top teams in the country, you can't come out and play the way you did in the first half.
Well, in either game. I mean, I'm grumpy more with people that wanted to say Herb's doing his best coaching job ever, and it's mid-February, and so they beat the U of A. So what?
Right.
So it's the greatest win ever, and it's the arch rival. Why are you taking away from that? Because they completely and totally regressed. They're not out of the tournament. Anybody who says they're out of the tournament is beyond clueless.
Oh, no.
But there's clearly something wrong internally when you have two showings that were just, you know, Shaq McKissick said after the Colorado game, he wouldn't have thought that happened on Mars. Well, I think that probably last night he should have said, I didn't think that was going to happen on Pluto. Use all the different planets, because I've never seen a team look so just off kilter, Paula, ever.
No, and you know, I mean, well, there's a couple things too. One, you know, you look at Sendek's track record kind of down the stretch. You know, there have been situations where they needed big wins to get into the tournament and they didn't get them. So I think there's that concern, and there's definitely some kind of maybe a motivational concern. I don't know if it's real, but when you have a team come out as flat as it did in the first half, you know, you have to look at the coaching staff with that.
Well, and look, they've got Stanford on Wednesday night, mm-hmm. and Stanford beats UCLA, so they're getting better. They're fighting to save their coach's job. The win at Cal is very impressive. They'll have Cal here this week, and then they have to go to the Oregon schools, and I think it's like a Tuesday that they play next week up in the Pacific Northwest. So their schedule is goofy, for one, And two, I could completely see this turning into a six-game losing skid in a hurry.
No, it's a real concern, especially, again, if you look at sort of what's happened with ASU in the past. Now, they are talented enough to beat some of these teams, and they've got to sort of find that again. They've got to find Jahi's leadership and ability. They've got to find more consistent shooting, and they've, more than anything, have to find the effort that has let them win in big games. So there's concerns. There's no question, Brad.
Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. I hate to be such a, you know, nag on this thing, but I'm just grumpy today.
Well, I understand.
And, you know, the whole thing, Michael Sam and Jason Collins, people trying to connect the dots on that. This one really isn't that tough for me.
Right.
Either they can play or they can't play. I've never cared about sexual orientation. Don't care.
Right.
Don't. If Jason Collins gets cut after his 10-day contract, okay?
Right.
If he gets cut, is it that the NBA was trying to beat the NFL to the punch? I think you could probably make that business argument because it's the Nets. They're not any good. And Jason Kidd has had his fair share of ups and downs in the NBA. So I could completely see the NBA saying, you're going to sign this guy and you're going to sign him now.
Gosh, I hope that's not the case because that shouldn't be what determines, you know, a guy being on a team. I thought it had more to do with the fact that it was a good fit. I mean, this is a coach he had played with. These are players. A lot of guys on that team he has played with before. And it just seemed like a natural marriage. And obviously with the injuries Brooklyn has faced, some of the position issues, they needed a player like him on that lineup. So I'm gonna maybe be Pollyanna and believing the wrong thing here, but no. I think it was legitimate.
I've heard the conspiracy theorists out there on that one.
Sure.
Arguing whether or not the use of the N-word should result in a 15-yard penalty, to me, is another asinine way of going about my Monday. Of course it should. The question is, does it turn into George Carlin's seven words you can never say? Is it just stop at the N-word? I don't see any debate on this one. Do you?
Well, my question with this whole thing is, shouldn't it always be and have been an issue and resulted in some, you know, sort of penalty, fine or whatever? Why do we have to mandate it? Is that not obvious to everybody that that's a problem? That was my hang up with this.
Well, and have you and I been in locker rooms where we've heard that word tossed around? Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm speaking for you, but I don't think you've not been in a locker room and haven't heard that. We've been around locker rooms. Sorry to age both of us,
right,
but we've
right,
been in locker rooms
course.
A few years.
Right.
So, but there's other words that are said, too, that aren't very complimentary.
Right.
Or that are offensive or that are racist or that just should never be uttered. But we're dealing with guys from all sorts of different ethnicities, backgrounds, religions, race, creed, different parts of the country where some things are viewed acceptable that to me are horrific that I would never agree to.
Right.
So I think that there's got to be a little bit of, okay, where do we go from here if this word gets dropped in?
Right.
That's where I'm at on this one.
Well, and the other issue with this, and it's sort of, I think you're addressing somewhat, different people use the word in different ways, and I know people hate that, but when I say that, but I would never presume to understand the complexities of, you know, an African American's experience. And I know that there are plenty of them that use that word among themselves, and so then you get into this weird gray area on the field when if one is saying that to another, is that a penalty? You know, is that a fine? What? I think it just when you're specifying words, I just think that's gonna complicate things, and I don't like it one bit.
Well, but see, you and I are on the same wavelength. Here's the thing on this: is a 15-yard penalty too much? Is it not enough?
Right.
Or shouldn't it be a penalty at all? And I think if I were just to throw that out and open phones up, I would get answers all over the board on this one. That the NFL, 15 yards just for dropping an N-word? Yeah, if that's what it takes. Well, no, it should be, you know, you have to be kicked off the field. You're out of the game. Or it shouldn't even be a penalty at all. I can see where people can make an argument. I don't agree with it. I lost a friend over the use of the N-word. He would not stop using it. in front of myself, and then it got to the point where in front of my family, and I just had to say, I can't be around you anymore.
Yeah, no kidding.
And so that and it was uncomfortable. Whenever I hear that word, I've never seen color, Paula.
Right.
I've never seen color. So I just wonder where the NFL is going to go with this.
Yeah, I just think it's there's two layered of an issue, because you're dealing with, again, different voices using the word. You're talking about context. As you mentioned, there are other horrific words that, what, are they going to be allowed? And what is really a good measure of a penalty? I just think it's too complex an issue to slap a 15-yard penalty on it.
Yeah, and we can use replay on this, too.
Sure.
So let's go down to the field. Let's see if we can actually hear the slur. Somebody's going to do that at some point.
Right.
It may be on cable. It may be a cable game. But anything else you're working on, or am I going to read about your breakfast with Ray?
You may read about my breakfast with Ray, or something that came out of it tomorrow in the paper, or maybe
is
on,
that the
on today.
Vote of support for Herb?
No, I mean that might be part of it, but there are some other things too.
Oh, and you have to sit on it.
Yes,
I get it. It's called a tease in the business.
Yes, it is indeed.
Yeah, stay well. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
It's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. Always good to catch up with Paula. I'm very sad today. Before we take a break here, Harold Ramis passed away this morning. Harold Ramis is one of the absolute brilliant people in my time in being around movies. He was the guy that wrote Animal House. He was the guy that wrote and starred in Stripes. He was the guy that directed Caddyshack. He was the guy that was in all the Vacation movies. Not that I was a big fan of the Vacation movies. Groundhog Day. Analyze this. Harold Ramis was funny dude. If you remember Stripes, Eric, do you remember Stripes?
I do.
So, you know what I'm talking about.
I don't remember it real well. I mean, I was more into the Vacation movies than you were.
But. Yeah. But you remember Harold Ramis, right?
Sure.
So, I mean, he was the guy that played opposite Bill Murray in Stripes. Mm-hmm. And he was a brilliant, brilliant mind. And he passed away today. Any guy worth their salt, if you've not seen the movies that Harold Ramis created, then I think you've missed out on life a little bit. If you've never had a Friday night where you've just hung out and watched Animal House and said, boy, this is really stupid, or wow, this is very funny. Or Stripes or Ground. I mean, it's one of these things, guys. I'm into the sports thing, but this is a very sad day. One of the most successful comedy filmmakers gone. On the other side. So Kadeem Carey, I've got some thoughts on Kadeem Carey. I talked to some NFL people about Kadeem Carey and the concerns about him. Also, Eric, back from the Combine, he talked to Kadeem too, and he talked to Will Sutton. More Combine stories. And a little bit more that is on my mind on some things going on this week in the world of sports. Diamondbacks opening up on Wednesday, and much, much more. Sports360AZ.com, that's where our content is located, and AZ Central Sports. Appreciate the partnership there. White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
I was kind of disappointed in the Suns last night. You're going to lose games. It's part of the deal. But I thought that down the stretch, they made a couple of defensive adjustments that weren't very good. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports360AZ.com. I like the fact that Jeff Hornacek, 24 seconds into the third quarter, calls a timeout. You know, that tells me a lot about him in this sense. You'll have coaches that they'll get out of halftime and they'll just roll it out there, and the Suns or their team is asleep, not really playing hard, not coming out of halftime very focused. We're in February. Yeah, coach, I got it. And you see these veteran teams. Like, I try to sit and watch New Jersey or Brooklyn Nets games. They're so hard to watch because it's just a bunch of guys pacing themselves. Just brutal. And even the Heat at times. When the Heat were here in Phoenix, it was entertaining. But the Heat have talked about, you know, it's tough to get up for this game. There's a belief that Miami's coasting, that LeBron James is just kind of coasting along. And yet you look up today and they're a game and a half back of Indiana in the Eastern Conference, which says, well, yeah, we're kind of coasting along. We'll get it figured out. I think there were some years with the Suns where Steve Nash was coasting along, trying to maintain his body for the postseason. I understood he didn't have any talent around him. I'm not surprised, by the way, that Nash's body's broken down. He doesn't have the Suns training staff here working on him anymore. So he's broken down. He's probably going to retire. But I'm watching last night the Kevin Johnson halftime deal. And it's good to see KJ back here. Kevin was one of those players that you either really liked or you were kind of lukewarm to. He was never hated here in Phoenix. But there were guys that just, I don't know, there are guys that have come and gone from the Suns. Kevin did have his detractors. Eric, you were not one of those because you've been here your entire life. Am I overstating this on Kevin Johnson?
No. I never covered him, but he was always one of my favorite Suns growing up, and I didn't get into the media until after he was gone.
But so. did you ever hear the he's hurt too much? I got
sure.
a ton of that.
Oh, yeah.
I got a ton.
And even, I mean, there was always, you may disagree, but was there some underlying tension between he and Charles? Because he and Charles were so, they were such different people. And I think a lot of, at least my friends, a lot of people when Barkley came here sort of shunned off KJ. And then the people that were really, really in KJ's corner sort of shunned off Barkley.
Well, there was some of that. I remember being in Houston in 94 when they ended up losing to the Rockets. And that was another year the Suns should have won the title. You know, it goes back to they should have beat the Bulls. They didn't. And it comes down to one big shot and one big defensive rotation.
Yep. Mario Elie, kiss of death, I believe.
Mario Elie did that. If you think about it with the Suns, during the Kevin Johnson era, they probably should have won three titles. Instead, they didn't end up with any of them. And so last night was nice. I like to see the organizations in town take care of those that have been here before. This isn't old man get off my lawn talk. This is just... It's kind of cool. Like, I'll give Arizona State some credit. As miserable as the basketball team was last week, that was last week. This season, they've retired the numbers of Eddie House and Alton Lister. Very cool that they've done that. I don't know why it's taken so long, but the fact that they've figured out we need to start paying attention to our past. I'd like to see Kevin here a little bit more. I know he's up in Sacramento doing his thing, but I've always liked Kevin Johnson, and it was nice to see that last night. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So Santan Ford, General Manager Tim Hovick, says to me, hey, Sesmat, what do you want to drive? I said, well, I'd like to get in one of these Fusions. All right, so I'm driving a 2014 Ford Fusion. Yesterday, I have to take my daughter back up to Grand Canyon University, back up to school, take her over to her boyfriend's house. Actually met the guy's grandparents and one of his buddies, and they came out front to look at the car because they said, well, man, that car is one sweet ride. Do you fit in it? I always get that. Do you fit in it? Well, no, I don't fit in it. You know, of course I fit in it. What are you, nuts? I'm in the Ford Fusion. The Fusion makes a lot of sense for me and all the busy driving that I do around the valley. I don't really notice how much. I mean, this morning I'm on the road at 6 a.m. I'm doing my thing on the road over to a breakfast in downtown Phoenix. Went from there here to the studio. I've got a lunch after this. I've got business meetings through the day and night. I'm going to run around with my 9-year-old tonight to some practices. It's in the Ford Fusion that makes a lot of sense for me. How about you? Can you talk with the confidence that I do about the vehicle you're in right now? Stop on into Santan Ford, Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Go to santanford.com. We have NASCAR coming this week. I was very pleased last night to see Dale Earnhardt Jr. Do so well. Dale Earnhardt Jr. in a 6-hour rain delay trying to navigate his way through to get the checkered flag.
Here they come, racing back to the start-finish line. Dale Earnhardt Jr. throws the block on Denny Hamlin. Across the line he comes, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. has won the Daytona 500 for the second time in his career.
And the good thing about this is, the race is now moving to here. This week, PIR is the spot. So we have the momentum. When Dale Earnhardt Jr. wins, it's great for the sport. There's no other way to put it. He is a dynamic personality. Yeah, there's those that hang on to the past for his late father. That's great. That's what sport is all about. I was rooting for him last night. I watched that last night. I had a choice of watching the Suns for about 20 minutes. I'd already said this ASU game is just a nightmare. Get me out of here. So I ended up on the race for about the last half hour. I wasn't one of those that thought Jimmy Johnson won, as a lot of the people did, because they were showing a race that had already been run. But nonetheless, 7 caution flags last night. Danica Patrick wrecked out. There'll be a lot of Danica talk this week. I'll get into that later in the week about Richard Petty's comments that she's never going to win anything. And I'm paraphrasing here. We'll bring back some of that later on this week. But it's a big week in the Valley and a big week in the state. I love having PIR out here. I love having NASCAR stop in twice a year. I think sometimes, and I'm even guilty of this, that we get so busy in the sports scene that we don't take enough time to really appreciate what NASCAR is all about here in Arizona. And they bring in boatloads of people and fill a lot of hotel rooms, just like the Fiesta Bowl does, just like all the big sporting events we have here. NASCAR is right on the same par. It's pretty easy to talk about the combine all day and all night, but we're going to do some stuff this week on what's going on out at PIR. The Diamondbacks open this week. So Wednesday, I don't know, Eric, I'm thinking I might have a too well to attend work day. I'm feeling a little sick.
Cough, cough.
Cough, cough. How many of you are just going to blow off Wednesday and go out to watch spring training baseball? I don't know. Maybe we'll just put on some show that we've done that was really good from...
Spring training in late February.
That's a rough deal.
We have the weather.
I was out at the Cubs. It's supposed to rain later this week. I was out at the Cubs yesterday just walking around that facility. That is a sweet deal. And Barry Bonds going to show up at the Giants camp. You going to cheer him or boo him? Brad Sussmat with you. Plenty of content. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. Of course, on Twitter, @Brad Sussmat, CESMAT. Hope you're having a great Monday.